Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
A very good evening. This is Point of View. My name is Pamela Motine. Thank you so much for being with us. Lots coming up on the show. We are going to be going to Mpumalanga. Unfortunately, 30 schools damaged there. And we'll get the basic education spokesperson to talk to us about plans afoot, because there needs to be plans for matriculants who are busy writing exams, as we all know. So we just need to get that kind of communication out there. What happens tomorrow? What happens to those students who are supposed to be out there writing? Unfortunately, four people having died over the weekend as well. But things are not looking good. We'll do that story. And before we get back to the story, I want us to go back to the life Isidimeni. I don't know if you remember. I mean, it was Section 27, actually, that kind of publicly started making some noise and said, you know, something is going on in the Department of Health in Gauteng. Something is going on and it is not good. There were whistleblowers upon whistleblowers. Professionals said, no, we are uncomfortable about plans afoot to move people from Life Isidimeni to other facilities. We haven't had enough time to assess the facilities they're moving to. All of that was happening, and people were already panicking before the disaster struck. We have been tracking the story for a very, very long time, and you can only imagine what it must be like for the families who have had to sit through inquiries, who've had to sit through really so many kinds of state institutions trying to get to the bottom of this. And I can't imagine reliving all of this over and over and over again. Today they marched to the NPA and they're asking a couple of things. When are we going to get movement from the NPA? And secondly, why are you not talking to us? In a nutshell, that's what the families are asking. Christine Mumalo is someone who lost her sister in this entire ordeal, unfortunately. She's been speaking out for a very long time. She's on the line with us. Thank you very, very much, Christine. Thank you again for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. Thank you for having me.
Christine, you decided as a collective to march to the NPA today. What were you asking of the NPA?
We're basically saying that we cannot wait another eight years to see movement, is to see action. Because if you recall, 8 years ago, we begged the NPA to do an inquest and they, I suppose, outright refused. And we had to literally pressure them every year, every chance we got, until we got the inquest. So we thought 3 months later and still no movement. We sent emails. We didn't really get any feedback from them. And then we thought, you know what? We need to march. We need to put on the pressure so we don't take another 8 years before we actually get any action.
So you speak of the inquest, but many, many things have happened before. We had the Ombuds report as well. So you, as a collective, have been through this over and over and over again. The toll it must be taking on your families, it must be absolutely devastating. Do you get any feedback, even though we don't have finality, but you know, is the NPA at least giving you some sort of feedback saying, no, we will get back to you by maybe such and such a time?
No. When we sent an email asking for an update or a meeting for us to get an update, we were sent from one email to the other, and then we were eventually told that the people handling the matter are on leave. They will get back to us, and of course they never did. And I think as families, we decided whether they get back to us or not, which we knew they wouldn't. We then decided we need to march. We need to do something more than just sending emails or trying to call. And that's when we actually came up with the idea to march. And yes, it is taking an incredible toll on the families, but we have to keep at it.
Yeah. You know, you had to do this, as you said, today. Did you feel like it was in vain? Did you feel like you were heard? What was your sense of how you were received?
I'm gonna answer you in this way. In 8 years ago, when we initially requested for the inquest, we didn't get to speak to the director back then. Mm. By the way, it's the same director who denied us the inquest back then that we handed the memorandum to. back then, we didn't, I don't think we even got to speak to him at all, other than perhaps maybe an email here or there. But this time, the difference today is that we got him on record stating that he will expedite this thing and that he will give it attention, which also, by the way, gives us the impression that they have not looked at it. So the difference there is that we've got him on record and we can literally hold him to it.
We've heard you and your voice over the years. Just maybe give me a sense of how all the other families are. How is everybody holding up? How are you holding up?
I don't know. But I think because as families, we're standing together. As families, you know, you can pick up a call and talk to somebody without having to explain yourself because that person is going through the same thing. And I think that sense of community makes it a little bit more easier to deal with on a day-to-day basis. But today was incredibly strange in that it actually took us back to the, like, right back to the time when the 37 was mentioned at the legislature by Dr. Gani Mahlangu. There was something very strange about today. We all felt so emotional, so, I don't know, it's like we'd gone back in time, like the, like it was real, like it had just happened yesterday. I don't know. It was, I don't know whether, you know, you get that sense that this was meant to happen, but it, the way it felt just was so incredible, incredibly emotional. I don't know. I think it's just maybe the trauma or reliving these moments over and over again, because every event and every action that we take literally takes us back every single time to where everything started.
All the inquiries, the inquest, the ombud report that we got, did it feel for you like some justice will prevail or not at all?
What I can tell you, and I can tell you from my experience and what I've experienced throughout this, is that every single action that was taken, like the ombudsman, the arbitration, the inquest, it felt like we were playing a puzzle piece, or we were putting together a puzzle piece, because every one of those provided us with a bit more clarity, a bit more, you know, where what started, who, where your sister or your loved one was moved, what was happening at the time, who was involved. So that's what it actually, what it did for us. It gave us a better picture because we didn't know. We were in the dark about how our loved ones were moved, where they went to, who was there, who was taking the decision. All we knew was there was a decision that was taken and there was no going back and our loved ones were moved. Hence, we had to look all over and phone everywhere and drive to different places just trying to track where they were. And, of course, some of us never got to see them until after they had passed. Some were lucky enough to see them just before they passed. So that's basically the what we, you know, what we've experienced and what those arbitration, the ombuds report, and the inquest did for us.
Christine, we will keep at it. There is no other way. Christine Nxumalo, and really appreciate you talking to us this afternoon. Her sister also passed away. Virginia was her name. She died in 2016. So the families of Life Isidumene victims today went to the NPA calling for the NPA to prioritize the prosecution of two former government officials believed to have caused the death of some of the mental health patients. And if you remember, more than 140 people died in that 2016 tragedy during what was a botched transfer, essentially. And earlier this year, if you, as you know, Christine was just alluding to, the inquest ruled that the negligent conduct of former Gauteng Health MEC Xolani Mahlangu and former Gauteng Mental Health Director Dr. Makgabo Manamela caused at least 9 of the deaths. As you remember, and as I was mentioning earlier on, it was Section 27 that blew the whistle on all of this, just raising their hand, saying there's a red flag here, something is happening, something is about to happen. And they warned us, and unfortunately, that didn't stop the moving and the transfer of these patients. Section 27 Executive Director Sesha Stevenson is on the line with us. Thank you so much for making time for us, Sesha. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you.
Let's just maybe talk to legally, you know, the march today. You wanted the NPA to do what exactly for the families?
Well, as you said, the inquest decision that was handed down 3.5 months ago found that the two people's conduct caused the deaths of 9 very vulnerable mental health care users. And essentially what that does is it opens the door for prosecution by the National Prosecuting Authority, because it says the evidence that a high court judge has seen suggests essentially that there's a case to be answered. And so what the families wanted to say to the NPA today was that the NPA needs to make its decision on prosecution, and it needs to do so urgently because it's been a very long 8 years waiting for justice and fighting for justice in so many different ways, as Christine said. And so that was the purpose today, was just to draw this to the attention of the NPA and say that we want them to prioritize and expedite the decision on prosecution.
Just maybe help me procedurally and legally, are they obliged to have moved by a certain time? In other words, can we hold them to something, anything?
No, there's no time limit on these decisions. Obviously, each case is different, and the prosecution will have to consider the evidence that they have and the facts of each case and decide what their prospects are. So there's no time limit. So we can't say that the NPA is late. What we can say is that it's been 3.5 months now, that there's 60,000 pages of evidence that came before Judge Tefo in the High Court, and that informed her decision in the inquest, and that it's been a very long wait for the families. And so we're not saying the NPA is delaying. What we are just saying is they need to prioritize this case. It's a case that's really important to the families, and it's a case that's important to all South Africans who have watched the various processes unfold over the last 8 years and want to see accountability, want to see justice.
You know, Christine said something chilling, and I mean, I don't know if you can verify that, but it was chilling nonetheless, where she says she didn't get the sense that anything had been done by the NPA. Now, that's just a sense she gets. But you've been watching, as Section 27, these families and the toll this entire ordeal has taken on them. You just mentioned 8 years. What's your sense of just how slowly the wheels of justice are moving, and why it's important for us to consider the fact that, you know, we're not doing right as a nation by these families?
Yeah, it's hard to know what's happening, obviously, within the NPA. We don't have insight into that. And I would trust that the office is taking this seriously. And the reason that I would trust that is that this is such an important case. And I would expect that the prosecution is looking into it and is making the decision that it needs to make. You know, this is an important case because it's a huge tragedy. It's a mass human rights violation, one of the most significant since the birth of our democracy, and it's a human rights violation for which a high court judge has found in the inquest that there's a criminal case to be answered. So that's the first thing. But the second is that this is a case where senior people in government, according to the inquest court, made decisions that caused deaths. And as a result, they need to be held to account. They need to be prosecuted. You know, it's not, it goes beyond life is dominion, the facts of this case, to the call for accountability across South Africa. And I think it's important for the public to see that when people make these decisions in their offices that cause such harm, there will be consequences, and there will be personal consequences. So that's why I say it goes beyond just the facts of this case, which themselves are terrible, but to the real cry for accountability across the country.
Are you hopeful, Sesha?
I am hopeful. You know, we, as I said, there's a huge amount of evidence. The judge heard over 145 days what had happened and came to this conclusion. And I think the conclusion that she came to is really significant. The fact that a judge could find that decisions made in an office cause deaths is very significant. And she didn't make that decision lightly. And I think the NPA would be well served to bring a prosecution, and so I'm confident that they, or I'm hopeful that they will indeed do so.
Section 27 Executive Director Sesha Stevenson, thank you so much for that. DA Shadow MEC of Health in Gauteng, Jack Bloom, has been listening to that conversation. He released a statement earlier on today as well. Jack, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Good to be with you.
What's your sense of what's happening here?
Well, it is very frustrating. I really feel for the families concerned. They haven't had any closure after 8 years. I mean, you know, it should never have been allowed to drag on so long. And we had a very lengthy inquest process, and that was the findings released on the 10th of July. And frankly, all the evidence is there. You know, it shouldn't be difficult for the NPA to put together the charges and the case. They should have been already working on it. They shouldn't have had to wait for the inquest findings, because there was a lot of evidence in the public realm before that. But what was distinctive about Judge Teffer's ruling from the inquest was that she particularly fingered the former health MEC, Kadani Mashlangu, and also the Dr. Manamela, who was head of mental health. And, you know, she actually made a finding that it was their negligence that contributed to 9 of the deaths. Now, of course, 144 people died, but there weren't that many autopsies, and there's a high standard of proof. But nevertheless, to lay the deaths of 9 people at the door of 2 people, I mean, certainly it seems to me that a charge of culpable homicide should be laid against them. But I don't want all the other players in this to get let off, because there's a whole lot of other charges under the Mental Health Act, National Health Act. They died at NGOs where the people running these NGOs were negligent, clearly. Obviously, there's blame to go around, and primarily it's the former MEC and the former head of mental health, but there were, you know, lots of other players involved. You know, all these NGOs were illegally registered by the head of department at the time, Dr. Barney Celebano. So I think there's charges there that can be laid, you know, and I don't know why this perpetual delay, because even once the charges are laid, we have to set a court date. And that's why I've called for not only the charges, but expediting a court date, you know, because we can't let this drag on and on forever. It's just unfair, and it means there's no consequences, and it brings justice into disrepute if it's delayed far too long.
Politically, are you going to be putting any more pressure?
Well, my colleague in Parliament, Glynis Breitenbach, has already written to the NPA. She wrote straight after the finding by Judge Teffo, and called on them to expedite the charges. But, you know, it's a general problem with fighting corruption and wrongdoing and all sorts of things in South Africa, criminality, is that the NPA is very slow to do their work. And sometimes when they lay charges, they don't do it properly and it doesn't stick, because they don't do their homework. We have a lack of expertise, and frankly, they're also swamped by many cases. But I would think that this case, a particularly serious case, and many people affected by it. Look, it's not just the 144 people that died and their relatives who were affected, which is a huge number in itself, but it was about 1,500 people who were moved to these NGOs, and they really suffered. And there has been compensation that has been provided. But, of course, money can never bring back a life that is lost. at the end of the day, people want to see people in court. They want to see Thulani Mahlangu, you know, who frankly has never admitted culpability in this, and her evidence was very arrogant before the inquest, and I think people want to see her in the dock, and certainly Dr. Manamela as well, because my impression at the time as a member of the legislature is that they were trying to cover it up, and in fact I think they could have got away with it if it wasn't for the health ombudsman, Professor Makhoba, because he did his inquiry in record time, and otherwise, Kudani Mahlangu didn't resign immediately after the first deaths became known. I mean, we only knew about the deaths because I asked a question of the Gauteng legislature, and she reluctantly provided the figures, which was 36 officially in the legislature, but Professor Makhoba found out, in fact, it was a lot more at that time, and more died over the following months, and she only resigned after great pressure once the health ombudsman's report was publicly released. So I think it's been a long journey, I fully sympathise with the families. They are not going to get closure until there is criminal charges, a fair court case, and I'm sure there'll be convictions on a variety of charges.
I appreciate your time as always, DA Shadow MEC of Health, Jack Blue.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.